please. Thank you. You know, there's really a live person who sits behind these screens and plays that wonderful organ we have here. It is Dr. Timothy Huth, and he does a great job with that. And the preludes and the postludes that he provides are very special, and they're worth coming early for and listening to. They're just wonderful. So welcome. Good morning. It is good to be together on this Sunday morning, the first Sunday in November already. I don't know how that happened. We welcome the wider Swinburne families and their friends for our baptism this morning. We have some wonderful new members who are joining our congregation this morning. It's a good day. It is a good day. Would like to ask you, if you will, to make yourselves known to us and to each other by autographing these friendship pads, which you'll find in all the center aisle areas of the pews. And at the conclusion of the service, we do invite you to come upstairs to Pilgrim Hall, where we have two different cakes for your enjoyment today in celebration of both the baptism that's taking place, as well as our new members who are being received today into membership. All of that cake is for all of you upstairs in Pilgrim Hall. We hope that you'll come upstairs and join us. Carl Larrabee, a member of our Board of Deacons, is over here to my left. He will be at the visitor welcome station in the narthex at the conclusion of the service. If you're a visitor here with us today and would like any information or additional information about our church, Carol will be back in the narthex to greet you at the conclusion of the service. We do have an announcement, a couple of announcements. First of all, Sarah, I would like to ask you to come forward and tell us about our second Sunday presentation next week.
Thank you, Bob. Yes, I just wanted to make you aware that next Sunday, right after this service, right after the 10 o'clock service, there'll be a great program, How Communities Can Take Action to Support a Thriving Local Food System. So let's learn more about where our food comes from and how we can help that food system be more efficient and more useful. So please come. We have a wonderful speaker who will be talking about this, and it ties in with our M&O theme for the year of feeding your neighbor. So please join us.
Thank you, Sarah. Also, please note in your worship bulletin the next week on Sunday night at 7 p.m. upstairs in Pilgrim Hall is our Healing Space service. And it says a little bit about that in your worship bulletin, but we do invite you to that special service. It's a very meditative kind of service upstairs in Pilgrim Hall next Sunday evening at 7. Also, is Jung Park in worship here today? Jung, come here a minute, will you please? She's very shy, and this is really going to bother her, but I'll tell you why it's going to be hard for her to get back at me. Because this week, Jung Park, who's been a wonderful member here and one of our leaders here for quite a number of years now, is moving permanently now to Seattle, Washington to be with the rest of her family. So this week, we say goodbye to Jung Park. And we wish you well. We wish you God's blessings as you move far west from here. I know you won't forget us, and we won't forget you. And I also wanted to give you a little card and also one of the memorabilia, a tile. I don't know if you bought one of these, but it's a tile that was created during the celebration of our 150th anniversary here at the church. It says First Congregational Church on it and has a little rendering of the church on the tile, but I would like to give you this to remember us with as you move west, and God bless you. We thank you. Yeah. We're going to miss you.
Thank you very much. I will miss you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Darcy, did I forget anything? Oh, the coat drive. Don't forget, we are now doing, the junior highs are doing their coat drive every year to provide warm coats for people who need a warm coat in the wintertime. And if you brought a coat in, hold it up, and one of the kids will pick it up, and you can bring it in the next 2 weeks, I believe, as well.
Correct.
So please bring in your warm coats to help warm some of our sisters and brothers in our community here. Darcy, did I forget anything else? That's it. Okay, well, let's greet each other as we begin our worship together.
Good morning. And might I say before we start, go blue. And go green. And yay, Iowa. I'm not biased or anything. But please join me this morning in the call to worship, the prayer of invocation, and the Lord's Prayer. We have come to worship this morning, seeking light and hope and refreshment. We have come eager to be reminded of what is important and to hear good news. We have come seeking God's way in our world that is often confusing and filled with competing voices. We have come as followers and seekers in quest of God's limitless love and unconditional grace that lifts us and leads us. Let us join together in one voice in prayer. Let us pray. Welcoming God, as the day begins, we pause from our busy schedules and active lives to find your comfort and inspiration in the midst of this community of faith. May your love enfold us, may your spirit fill us, and may your hope sustain us. Open your eyes to see your love, our lips to sing your praise, and our hands to serve and care for others. Help us to be salt and light in our often bland and dark world. Through Jesus Christ, our model and teacher, we pray, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The special honor of inviting the Swinburne family up to share in the sacrament of baptism for sweet Noah. So Swinburnes, can you come up, and godparents as well, Elizabeth and Christopher? And I'm also going to invite the children to come up here. So kids, if you're, you usually come up for children's circle, many of you have already gone through baptism. So come up here and you can support young Noah as he comes to his baptism. If you're a kiddo, you can, kind of sit like where Josh is sitting. Perfect.
Friends in Christ, we have the great joy today as we gather for worship together to celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism, now with the Swinburne family. Baptism is a sacrament in which we are marked, in which we are claimed. We are marked with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are claimed always as Christ. Noah, today on your baptism, may we affirm for you very loudly and very clearly that you belong. God has called you by name. He knows you by name. You have a purpose. You have a destiny, you even have a calling. The waters of baptism begin, Noah, your journey of living out that purpose surrounded now by this Christian community. The waters of baptism are all about identity, and it's all about transformation. Remember, baptism is a lifelong process. Know that begins for you today, and you'll be reminded of this often by your family and friends. So as your faith family, we are so proud to witness this moment for you, Noah, and for your family, and we will pray and work for your continued spiritual formation as you continue this journey of being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Tracy and Adam, as Noah's parents, let me address some questions to you. Do you desire to have Noah baptized into the faith and community of Jesus Christ? If so, please say together, we do. Will you teach him the principles of our Christian faith, celebrating with him the love and presence of God, praying with him and for him, and as best as you are able, nurturing him and raising him in this gathered community of the church? If so, please say, we will, with God as our help.
And Elizabeth and Christopher, you who stand here today as Noah's godparents, as his godparents, do you promise by your own prayers, by your own example and love and nurture to help Noah grow into the grace and love of Jesus and to follow in the way of Christ? If so, please say together, I do.
Thank you.
Jesus calls upon all of us here to welcome children into our church, to offer them the gift of God's grace in the sacrament of baptism. So do we, gathered here, representing the First Congregational Church of Ann Arbor, promise to love, support, and care for Noah and his family as far as we are able, as he is now baptized? If so, please say together, and this is you guys too, we promise our love, support, and care.
We promise our love, support, and care. Let us pray together. Grant, O gracious and loving God, your very special love and your very special blessing to Noah this day, as he is now baptized and committed in Christian faith now to you. And be with Tracy and Adam and Zoe and all of Noah's loved ones and friends as together they nurture and guide as they love and care for Noah. Especially, O God, be with Noah on this, his very special day. Watch over him both now and in the days, months, and years to come. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
By what full name shall your son be called?
Noah Henry Swinburne. Let's see. Noah Henry Swinburne, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, in the name of God, the Christ, and in the name of God, the Holy Spirit. You are a beautiful child of God, and God loves you. You want to meet your church family? We'll come back to the water. We'll come back to that. I know. Church family, this is Noah. He is a very happy little boy. He really enjoys the fans of the lights at church. And he has a wonderful, loving big sister named Zoe. He's so happy. This is your church family. They're going to pray for you and watch you get older. And my kids will probably teach you how to run around the church and find the M&M jar. You've got all sorts of stuff to do here. Sweet Noah, welcome to your church family. Is he still smiling?
Congratulations. Let us pray together. Oh, loving God, send your very special grace and blessing to Noah, to Tracy and Adam, his parents, to Zoe, his big sister, to their wonderful extended family, and to all whom they love. As you have ignited this strong and beautiful spark of life within Noah, so also help us to kindle that spark into a dancing flame, that Noah may grow into a deeper knowledge and love and experience of you. Watch over him, we pray, and guide and protect Noah as he grows throughout all of life. Through Christ, our friend and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Congratulations.
High schoolers, you have class today as well, so you can head down with your teachers, and I will be down shortly.
Get out your wallets. Morning. I'm Nancy Vermeulen. I'm the co-chair of the Deacons and like to welcome all the new members. We would like to now invite forward those who wish to become members of this church and enter into covenant with this community of faith. As I read your name, would you please step forward? Alex Foyer. Paul Kazakhin. Andrew Lindberry. And in absentia today, Colleen Barnes and Isaac Williamson. Hear the words of Jesus. I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me and I in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. And the Apostle Paul wrote, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are equally citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus alone being the cornerstone in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in Christ, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Well, new member candidates, we are delighted to have you come on board now as one of the full covenant members of the First Congregational Church of Ann Arbor. It really is an honor and a real compliment to us when people choose to join and become a deeper part of what it means to be a fellowship or community here at the First Congregational Church. So I welcome you on behalf of all of us. Darcy and I would like to address these questions to the three of you this day. Do the three of you believe in God who calls us each into relationship, a very personal kind of relationship, and is also a revealing expression of love? If so, please respond by saying, I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's mission in all the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God.
And finally, do you promise to uphold the covenant of this church, becoming a member with all the duties and responsibilities and rewards therein? If so, please answer by saying, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
I'm Dick Mitchell, Chair of Church Council, and you'll find printed in the bulletin the welcome by the congregation. So please join me as we get to welcome these new members to First Congregational. We welcome you with joy into the common life of this church. Let us work, serve, and journey forward together, striving to create a supportive community of people committed to loving the world created by our loving God. As we receive you as new members of our church, may the blessing of God be with you.
I'd like to invite all of us to please stand and share our joy together and our thanksgiving together in singing together the doxology. So please stand as we sing the doxology together. Gracious God, we praise you and we thank you for calling us into faith and for gathering us into the church, which is the very body of Christ. We thank you for your people gathered here at the First Congregational Church of Ann Arbor, and we truly rejoice this day that you have increased our community of faith with these wonderful and remarkable new members this morning. Together may we live freely in the Spirit, building one another up in love, sharing in the life and worship of this church, and serving the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may welcome and greet the new members upstairs in Pilgrim Hall following the service here this morning. And I thank you. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome, Adam. Thanks. Well, good morning. Judy kind of took the words out of my mouth today when she was talking about all these football games that took place yesterday. It's kind of hard to avoid that, isn't it, in a university community like ours? And it was a fun day yesterday. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you survived the time change. I hope you got an extra hour of sleep. And it is really good to be together, both just as a community, but also in particular and very specially celebrating a baptism and celebrating some of the new people who are part of this worshiping community. It's a good day. Here now, the reading of scripture, it comes once again from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I'll be reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. So listen for God speaking to you today through these words and challenging us to live out these words that we hear. So listen to the reading from Matthew 5. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and thus give glory to your Father in heaven." Let us pray together as we begin. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the many ways that your Spirit touches our lives. In particular today, we're grateful for these new members and for the celebration of baptism of Noah. Be with us today. Stir us up once again with this good news that we have heard. Send us out into our world today as refreshed people and renewed people, people ready to be good news. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing now to you. Amen. You know, from years of experience, I know that people love to hear ministers rant about things. Isn't that true? Isn't that partly why you come on Sunday mornings to listen to the minister rant about certain things? I see you all nodding and agreeing with me. Well, so I thought this morning I would bracket my introduction to today's sermon with just a very minor rant about our society's and our world's growing lack of civility. Something that has honestly been bothering me a great deal lately. As you well know, examples of incivility and rudeness are numerous. Pick any side of the political spectrum, or listen to the media, or venture onto the internet. or read the local University of Michigan daily newspaper, or simply drive your car down a highway or walk around the city, and you will easily find abundant instances of what I am speaking about today. And you know what I'm talking about. For example, I was recently driving on US 23 when I noticed a young man who was in a very big pickup truck, you know, one of those 85,000 ton pickup trucks that we drive nowadays. And I was in the right-hand lane. This older couple was in the left-hand lane, moving fairly slowly down the highway, and this young man in this big pickup truck came up behind them, and I am not kidding, was tailgating no more than about 4 feet back from that older couple's back bumper, all the while and very obnoxiously honking his horn at the car and flipping on and off the bright lights, which, as I said, was being driven by this now rather nervous-looking older man who finally pulled over to the right-hand lane. And then this young man just zoomed past him, flipping him off. I won't show you the what that looks like. You all know what I'm talking about. Flipping him off as he zoomed by. It was one of those times that I wished that a state trooper had been nearby. You know what I mean. There are, of course, hundreds of other illustrations I could offer you, and you, as I said earlier, have examples as well. It often seems to me as if humankind has forgotten its humanity and has instead subordinated expectations of behavior to the very lowest common denominator. In particular, it seems as if we have lost sight of some basic human values such as respect and politeness and courteousness and good manners and compassion. Jesus knew this in his day as well. The spiritual challenge of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in particular the Beatitudes and these verses that I read for us this morning, is that Jesus is trying very hard to steer his followers away from life-diminishing attitudes and behaviors and is instead trying to push them forward, inviting them to become and to be people of faith and character, doers, if you will, of the word, not just hearers of that word. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. You are the light of the world. And he means it. Now, when Jesus said these words to his followers back then, and even as we hear these words today, Jesus was and is, I think, extending a great compliment to humankind. Even today, when we wish to stress someone's solid worth and character, we say, wow. He or she is really the salt of the earth. Or we might say, he or she can really light up a room. These words of Jesus were and are meant to be a tribute to his followers. And they're meant to be an assertion of the value and character we are able to bring to and live out in this world that God has created. By using salt and by using light as metaphors, Jesus is talking about the dramatic effect we, you and I, can have on life as God's people. As salt brings flavor to food and as salt preserves it, so we can do also. And as light abolishes darkness and brings comfort and clarity to what is really present and what is a present reality, so we can do that also. As well. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. He's not mincing his words here. Jesus says our job as followers of Jesus is to live in this world that God has created. And then we're to be God's seasoning in this world And we are to be God's light in this world. And we do so as we model and teach the kinds of behaviors and attitudes. As we model and teach the kinds of behaviors and attitudes that bring dignity and value and fullness of life to all people. And if we aren't salt, and if we aren't the light, then who will be? Jesus is telling us that we must be persons of principle. We must be people of character and integrity. We must, as followers of Jesus, live up to the highest standards of Jesus and Jesus' teachings. Why? So that people can begin to see a higher and better way of being and acting, and thus experience a better way of living and relating and being. The question today is, will you make a commitment? Will you take on this challenge that Jesus is giving us to be such a person as this? To be, if you will, light and salt in our world today. Will you do it? The late Peter Gomes, who before his death in 2011 was a professor and the head of chapel at Harvard University, in one of his books titled Sermons, Gomes writes about the Sermon on the Mount, and in his book he points out that the blessed statements that we heard about these last weeks of Jesus are actually, he says, now statements. These blessed statements are now statements. That Jesus was referring to happiness in this moment. Jesus is referring to blessedness in this moment. Gomes said that the Beatitudes are actually ecstatic utterances of a present reality. Gomes then queried, "Do you see what has happened?" He writes, "Tomorrow has become today. The kingdom that Jesus said is to come is already here. We don't have to wait for it any longer. That which we seek, we already have. That which we would be, we already are." The happiness of the gospel, he wrote, is not hope deferred, but the consequence of hope experienced here and now by you and by me. And the wonder of it all is that this extraordinary message of blessedness and hope is for us, for all people, for ordinary people who of ourselves can accomplish nothing, but who with Christ in our lives and with God in our consciousness, we can indeed impact and overcome the world. You, Jesus said, are salt, and you are light. Gomes then asks, is that not a sufficient reason? Because of the blessedness that we have already received and God who is already part of our life, is that not a sufficient reason, he writes, to shine and glow and give glory to God in all that we say and do? Does not this fact add zest to life and light to those who sit in darkness? Again, if we're called to be salt and light, and if it's not happening, then we have to look inwardly at ourselves. Now, you may be wondering, what does it look like when someone is really being salt? And what does it look like when someone is really being light in our world? Well, let me give you or offer you a few examples of what it looks like. It looks like member Dot Patterson sitting in the hospital with Betty Hall during the last days of her life as she sat there for hours and hours and days with this wonderful woman. That's what salt and light looks like. It looks like Circle of Friends member Arnie Prohl taking time to visit Jerry Baker at the Reddy's Memory Center at the Celine Evangelical Home. It looks like member Paul caring for his patients and calming their fears before he puts them under anesthesia before a surgical procedure at the University of Michigan Hospital. Paul, one of our new members. It looks like member Gail Haynes and member Liz Larrabee envisioning and then creating a quiet, healing, and very meditative space for people once a month in our pilgrim hall so that people who have a need to move deeper and further in their relationship with God and find the healing powers of God in their life may come to a nice, positive, quiet space where that can happen, joined by other members of this community and outside our community. It looks like members Bob and Sarah Holmes serving lunches to the folk who are being helped at Cass Community Outreach in Detroit. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like member Pam Dabbs taking the lead in organizing the warming shelter that we host here for our homeless community during the month of February. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like some of you, when you're walking down the street and see a lonely person and you turn and give a smile to that person to let them know that they are noticed and important. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like somebody who's ready to give in on an argument instead of allowing the argument to continue in order to bring some peace to that relationship. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like many of our members, many of you who give up your free time to serve on local nonprofit boards or volunteer for local nonprofits, bringing hope and healing and help to those in our local community who tend to be the most vulnerable. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like a young man driving a big pickup truck who, instead of tailgating an older couple, simply moves back and allows them the time to make their way back into the right-hand lane as they're driving down the US 23 highway, and waving as he zooms by. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like our member Kurt Anderson taking time to befriend and help a homeless man who hangs out in the Carytown area of our city. That's what Salt and Light looks like. It looks like the staff and volunteers of our church school and our membership at large who provide Christmas gifts to kids and families who otherwise wouldn't have much of a Christmas and provide backpacks for kids as they launch into a new school year. That's what Salt and Light looks like. And the examples go on and on and on. You know what Salt and Light looks like, and you know it when you see it. So friends, let me be just a little bit redundant today. I personally believe that in the end, we will not be judged by the particular religious dogma or doctrine or creed that we hold. In the end, we will not be judged by the political party we support or don't support. We will not be judged by the college team we root for on Saturdays, or any other number of things. No, in the end, I believe we will be judged by the integrity we have shown, by the love and care that we have shared with others, by the respect and dignity that we have shown to others, and by how well we, the people who profess a faith in Jesus Christ, have valued and enhanced the lives of others in mercy, in service, in grace, in openness, and in compassion. Let me leave you this morning with one of my favorite quotes by the Spanish philosopher and writer Miguel de Unamuno, who wrote this. He wrote, "No, not more light, but more warmth. We die of cold, and not so much of darkness. It is the frost that kills, not so much the night. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the only salt that Jesus has. You are the light of the world. You're the only light that Jesus has. So go out and be salty and bright Christians. All in the name of Jesus. As followers of Jesus. The one who came to bring light and love and flavor and goodness and abundance to our world. So my friends, live with purpose, love with abandon, and luxuriate in the joy every day of God's promise to us to be with us always and to never let us go. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Rebecca. Let us pray together. O Lord of love and light, shine into our lives today and bring your love into our souls. Remind us of the amazing ways that you have loved us, even when we may have turned our backs on you. Open our hearts to receive your loving spirit. Open our minds to receive your wisdom and guidance, and open our hands and hearts to show others your loving compassion. Lord of love and light, we hold in our hearts those around us who feel unloved. We bring them to you for you to shine your love into their lives. We hold in our minds those who are overwhelmed by their needs and difficulties, and we hold in our hands your loving compassion for us to give them. Lord of love and light, there are people in places that are dark. Move us to be a beacon of your light, that we may shine forth your love through what we do and what we say and how we share. There are people in places that have closed their minds to you, O God, to fresh new ideas, to the idea of hope. Shine forth your light and love to open their minds to you, so that hope is alive once again in them. Help us to raise high the light of your Son, our teacher and model, Jesus Christ, that light that shines in the darkness, and the light that darkness can never, ever overcome or consume. Help us to be doers of your good word. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.